Guys, welcome back to IsCast. This is episode 18. A lot of important stuff to talk about today. It's me, myself, Wade, Lee, David, Ben here today. We're going to be talking about local stuff we got going on with our company. There's a lot of cool tech news that we're going to address. There's a lot of upcoming games that have been announced and talked about.
Oh my goodness, a lot of games.
And finally, movies. A lot of great movies that have just come out in the cinema that we got to go see. We're going to kick it off right away with a cool event that a couple of us got to attend. This is some local filmmaking stuff.
Yeah, I'm really bummed that I couldn't make it to that, but I did it at my sister's graduation.
Yeah.
So I thought it was just me. I came for the after party.
Yeah. So, important part. So what it was, you know, in this culture of online distribution with YouTube and Vimeo and everything else, we went to a local cinema event where local short films, indie filmmakers.
From Minnesota.
Yep, from Minnesota. We got together in a theater in Uptown and just, you know, watched each other's films in their person in a theater environment. Got to hang out with other producers and directors and everyone involved, and it was a really cool event. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this was related to the writer that we helped on.
Mm-hmm. Willie Rhino.
They put a trailer together that they showed. They're not done with the film yet, but
a lot of rotoscoping.
So much After Effects. It looks good. Bryce really did a good job so far on it.
But it was a really great network opportunity too, just for us, everybody that was there.
Definitely
business cards. And
Ben and I mentioned that we're working on a Halo fan film and we make armor, and that seemed to impress at least one guy.
The prop thing was a big thing.
So yeah, that was cool. Also, we just officially bought our next flagship camera, which is the Blackmagic Production 4K camera.
It's very exciting.
Allegedly in the mail, David.
In a week.
It's Blackmagic.
It's coming out. So
we'll get it.
Had payment issues.
Yeah, we'll get it eventually.
Guys, if you haven't heard of this camera, it's basically a giant box with a touchscreen, and it can shoot in 4K, obviously, which is, you know, big file sizes, but it lets us do a lot more. And it RAW isn't out yet, but it's coming out, and that's going to give us a huge dynamic range
and even bigger file sizes.
Yes,
I figured we're probably about a double.
What are the drive sizes that we got?
256.
No.
Oh,
we got 240s.
Oh,
yes, a very peculiar size, but yes, we got two 240 gig SSDs.
And if we were shooting in RAW in 4K, how much time do we get with those two cards?
My guesstimate by the numbers is maybe 20 minutes. Maybe. So 240, yes.
Which usually, like, for like film cameras, like what would they get for a reel?
A 400-foot reel is about 10 to 12 minutes.
Yeah, so it's like...
Yeah. And that's
better.
Yeah.
So fine with that.
And that's one thing I've seen is like how, in many ways... Like, one thing I think, I don't know if you mentioned on the podcast, Wade, but the whole idea of when you were talking with one of the other freelancers you've worked with, but the idea of respecting the frame.
Respecting the frame.
And keep in mind what you're doing, and you know, time is money. You know, in film days, that was really important. You know, film is expensive.
Especially being at film school, because it's out of your pocket to process and transfer that
stuff. You know, I did the same thing. Like every time I hit the shutter button, I knew it was like, you know, that's basically like $10 bills are starting to roll through the gate.
Exactly.
And it's interesting how we're almost going back to that.
Yeah.
Because previously, you know, with HD, like, yes, it takes up a lot, but it's, you know, an hour-long event is, 10 gigs?
Yeah.
Maybe
uncompressed.
Uncompressed HD. And so now we're going into high resolution. And granted, you know, memory is relatively cheap. But getting that, and now we're dealing with, you know, for 10 minutes of 4K ProRes, not RAW, but just 4K ProRes, is 50 gigs.
Yeah. No, it's definitely true. And it's just good practice, you know. It's good technique to set up your shot and know what you're going to do, and then, okay, we're finally going to start rolling. And as opposed to shooting documentary style, let's just roll
and
whatever.
See what happens.
It's video, it's unlimited, let's just shoot. No, and it's good to when you're editing too. You don't have to sift through as much stuff.
Yeah.
It's all there ready to go.
I think it's good practice through anything, like, you know, we don't follow it too well, but having a project and having a deadline, like, you constrain yourself, you constrain your resources.
Yes.
So that you come up with the best scenario of what you have at that time, and it comes out and you move on to the next thing.
Yeah, so that is going to be in our hands in a couple weeks, a few weeks.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, yes. The trouble with Blackmagic is not many people have bought the Blackmagic from Cinequipped. There's been tons of people renting it.
Sure.
Tons and tons of people are renting it. But not a, a lot of people have bought it. So I currently don't know the state of
like
their supplies.
Like bought it from...
From Cinequest.
Your shop.
Yeah, okay. From us. So I don't know like what their... Because like, you know, for just to get the Cinequest rental one basically took 11 months. From when they said they were going to deliver.
Right.
About when they said they were going to deliver. So, you know, obviously we got an order. So I don't know if they're at the point where like, yes, you know, they get an order, they ship it out the door, or if it maybe could be 3 months for all I know before we get it.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully in time for shooting.
Granted, of course, you know, if there are issues, I'll be making a great many phone calls to Blackmagic.
Yeah, we're hoping to use it on Dawn in Heaven.
Yep.
And yep.
Speaking of, we started opening up the shop and started wrapping up production on pre-production.
that's a very interesting term.
Yes.
Also, we tested out yesterday some of my Canon lenses because it has an EF mount, which is awesome.
David borrowed the 4K from Cinequip again. Yep. Is any of that footage going to be in the Vlog that we're going to come out with?
Yes, okay. It is.
Yeah, and cool. So you can look forward to that in the next couple of days.
Well, right. I'm planning to release it like alongside the podcast so they can link to each other.
Oh,
so hey,
oh,
listening
that's,
to
that's
this,
clever,
check out the Vlog. We'll link somewhere.
Yeah, we'll put it in the description.
Yeah, link in someplace. Here.
So that's going on with us. We're getting cameras and building armor and lots of fun stuff. Speaking of the YouTube distribution, big news with YouTube buying Twitch for $1 billion.
I'm not sure if it's gone through yet. I think it still has to be reviewed by the FCC.
And it's allegedly been bought for $1 billion.
Yeah, but it's confirmed.
I'm
that
pretty sure it's not the FCC.
They chose.
It's the FTC. Sorry.
Yeah, whatever it is. Some federal organization has to review it.
I still think that's amazing that Oculus Rift got $2 billion from Facebook. Compared to some of these, even like
I think it's more crazy that Beats got
Beats
three.
Got
like, well,
really,
isn't it like two?
No,
it was 1.5. It's 2.5 for hardware and 50 for the service, basically.
$500 million for
$500 million
the service.
Yeah,
but see, Beats made $1.5 billion. Through like selling their product.
Yeah, last year.
Yeah. So it makes sense.
But that's the thing, like that's what's crazy about Oculus is they've sold dev kits.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they don't even have any. Well, it's very interesting to look at how that's the shift in when acquisitions a lot of the time nowadays are, you know, previously, you know, call it 50 years ago, you wanted to buy a company. It was all the value was just based on assets.
Mm-hmm.
How many people are working for you? What is your equipment? Do you have servers? Do you have workstations? Do you have office buildings? That and now, like
it's
so
like
much
presence.
Of it is it's presence, but it's also people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Facebook, their IPO was what, $5 billion?
Was it that high?
Anyway,
what it was.
But they have servers, but you know, it's all about the people and the information they have access to because of those people. And, you know, same with Beats, like part of the, well, some of it is, you know, they already have a user base. Granted, it's not a very big user base of their subscription service, but that's sort of what Apple is going for. Mm-hmm. But that is, you know, rather than taking so much time and energy to make their own subscription service, they're going to use Beats.
So moving back to Twitch and YouTube, I'm kind of confused because YouTube already allows live streaming, right? So what are they getting out of this purchase?
They do streaming, but Twitch supports specifically gaming streaming. So
and they also have native apps for the consoles.
Yeah.
Okay.
So a lot of people actually make a living off of just streaming off of Twitch. So like with either ads or subscriptions. And YouTube doesn't currently allow that, or they don't do that.
And this is probably related to that they're going to be expanding for projects that people can fund through YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, yeah.
That'll be...
I forgot what it was called.
Because people start doing Patreon to fund their online videos, and is YouTube trying to do something
they're
more like
doing
that, too?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that will be interesting because, you know, being able to do Kickstarter, but by my research for it, maybe I missed something. It sounds like, to me, like, you know, you can just sort of throw money at
a
channel.
It's more
so.
Like... You
the
like
donation
what you see,
page almost.
You
yeah.
Chipping money, it's like getting tips.
Yeah, no, and I like the idea of that. I question, you know, how effective it's going to be. Like, for example, like, I'm sure like there's going to be tons of people that are going to like, hey, I'm going to throw money to Freddie Wong or Corridor Digital or whoever. But you know, is it how useful is it going to be to the small to the very small? Like, you can say a company of our size, and I'm just gonna, like, how willing are people going to be to throw to us?
I think they're hoping to get more people up to that level and yeah. more channels like that, more yeah. like
well, if YouTube is listening, TV series. And if you're looking to fund some other independent companies, or Intersection Studios located yeah. in Minneapolis, check can so be blank.
I think it's interesting that, YouTube is seeing what not necessarily its competitors are doing, but how other services are, you know, trying to change the climate for indie production, and they want to bring that into their fold. Like Patreon, for example, they want to do more crowdfunding. They want to do Twitch live streaming. That's it's interesting.
Yeah.
Do you consider YouTube and Twitch competitors?
No, no, no. That's why I mean, like, they're not necessarily competitors, but YouTube is seeing what other companies are doing that can help them.
Yeah.
And so they're,
well,
you know.
I think it's also going to be interesting with the Twitch thing, because, like, there's currently, I just read some new articles about Nintendo, and Nintendo's been clamping down on Let's Plays that use Nintendo games. And
well, they're
going
to be starting, what is it called, the program through YouTube?
Content ID?
Something like that, where it...
Yeah, where if it's a Nintendo game on a Let's Play, Nintendo gets to put their ads at the beginning.
No way.
They get the vast majority of the profits. They
can
put a
choose
little,
their profit.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. The reason I think it's interesting, like, I think that, you know, it's fully within their rights to do it.
I think that's better than not having it at all.
Yeah, then getting flagged and taken off or
yeah.
something.
Yeah, well, and exactly. But looking at that is, I wonder what will happen compared. So Nintendo will start doing this. They're going to start making money off of, you know, your Let's Play. Granted, I understand it's there. Like, they made the stuff. They own the rights to it and everything. Versus all the other video game makers that aren't doing that. Is this possibly, if none of the other video game makers jump on, like, say, if Microsoft doesn't do this, like, nope, if you're going to do a Let's Play in Halo or in, you know, whatever, that's fine. You just do your thing. Is that going to make, actually going to backfire on Nintendo? And are people not going to do Nintendo Let's Plays anymore? If they figure, oh, I'll just do a Let's Play instead in Minecraft, where Minecraft
maybe
isn't going to take any
it's possible
money from me, and I get to use my ads.
They'll probably, like, build a Zelda universe in Minecraft and do that Let's Play.
Yeah, there we go.
Like,
exactly.
Recreate a Zelda.
Yeah, so it's going to
yeah, at the same time,
away.
Though, people that, like Wade, that are really into Zelda, like, they're going to keep playing Zelda.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It doesn't
well,
matter.
I'm not saying not play the games. I mean, do Let's Plays.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they're going to still want to show off and be like, I don't know.
I think that's a good
point.
You
might lose some, but...
But the people who are making a living off of that might start tearing away.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but I think if you put all of your eggs in the YouTube basket for making a living, that's kind of risky.
Oh, no,
in
it
itself.
Is.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so Christmas is coming up. WWDC.
One of the Christmases.
One of the Christmases.
One of our yearly Christmases.
What's the other one?
NAB.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
E3.
So there's... Yeah, and E3. Yeah. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. So WWDC, Apple's going to unveil... Hopefully lots of goodies. For sure, the two new OSs that are coming out.
Yep.
OS 10.10, which is a thing.
Because this is a developer conference, so this is focused on software.
Yeah.
So I don't know if
releasing a new product line, too? If I remember.
Yeah. Sometimes they do hardware, but it's
focused on
software now.
Yeah, but it's usually, and when it is hardware, it's usually the Mac, their desktop line. Everyone's saying that there's so many rumors swirling about the iPhone 6 being announced, which would be uncharacteristic.
I want
that's in September.
I've been waiting for it.
I wouldn't complain because my upgrade time is in that September.
Yeah, I'm ready for it. I wanted it July, not the fall.
Yeah.
Well, the first iPhone came out in July.
Yeah.
Or June.
Yeah. They're kind of like moving to the fall.
Yeah.
Kind of
timeframe. Yeah. So with that, then there's the other two big questions. For announcements. So one, is there going to be a new Apple TV? Because there's been lots of rumors about a new Apple TV, whether it probably being another set-top box. So not, you know, not an actual TV,
yeah,
but a set-top.
Right. I don't know. Like, I've... As long as Xbox One gets HBO Go, like, I'm not using my Apple TV anymore.
Yeah, see, well,
except for streaming, but...
Yeah, and see, well, like, what I really want one is mainly for the AirPlay stuff.
Yeah.
To be able to go off, you know, if I'm hanging out at home, it's like, oh, here's a funny-ass YouTube video.
Mm-hmm.
Bleep that. and you know, being able to throw it up onto the TV. That's the main reason I want it. You know, I wish they did make, you know, a simpler, like, stick version, like the Google...
Chromecast.
Yeah. Like something that, like, mainly just does that streaming, because that's mainly what I want for. Because you're right, you know, I have an Xbox. I don't need Netflix. I don't need HBO Go.
Or I just wish they'd share the AirPlay software with
other
companies.
And then the other thing, the other rumor to announce, which I could see them possibly announcing here, which would be the iWatch. The reason I could see them announcing it here...
I just don't see the point of it.
Yeah, me neither.
I do, but before I get into that, the reason why I could potentially see it coming out here is because it's the developers' conference announcing it and then announcing the SDK for it, so that people get interested in making stuff for it, even if it will be released in the fall or the winter.
That makes sense.
I know I like the idea of the iWatch, you know, this the further connectivity between that and my other Apple devices. And also there's the potential, like the new app that may be coming with iOS 8, the Health Book app, and so possibly getting more into health tracking peripherals, because you know, one thing is, you know, I'm trying to be more health conscious lately, and you know, I've kind of wanted to get something like a pedometer to start tracking, you know, how much I'm walking, but you know, if I can
there's
get
a pedometer on your phone boring.
But it drains the battery.
The thing is, like, what I don't know, when I was reading a review for like this the Samsung watch, what's it called,
Galaxy Gear,
okay, and you know, it seems cool, but the thing is, it's exactly like the old iPod Nano that they said you could wear as a watch. It's exactly like that. Yeah. So Apple's done it years ago, and then they said, nah, we'll move on. The Nano can be something else.
Yeah. Well, and I hate that design. Like, if the Apple Watch looks like that, a big square display block on your wrist, I don't care about it. Yeah.
Plus, you know, like, you got to recharge it constantly.
Yeah, that's the other thing I really don't like, is it's just another thing I have to charge. Exactly. It's another screen I have to wear.
I don't like having things on my wrist either.
And of course, you know, I'm thinking I'm the one here. Like, I've worn a watch since third grade. Pretty much every day of my life since third grade, or maybe fourth grade. I've worn a watch. I love watches.
I like watches, but the thing is, I like having to not have to think about its battery. It'll charge until it'll stay charged till I'm dead. It'll keep going.
No, I agree there, and I know that's one of the rumored delays in the iWatch, is they want the battery life to be between 5 and 7 days.
What are these rumors based on? They haven't made any announcements about this.
Well, it's all supplier leaks and you know that, you know, there's so much of that nowadays.
People just wanting it.
Yeah, and you know, there's like example on there's a website called TUAW, the unofficial Apple web blog, and on it, like every week, one of the guys does the rumor roundup breakdown and basically tears all of them apart as like why there's absolutely unfounded. But you know, it will be interesting to see if that stuff comes around.
Cool.
I mean,
also,
we'll see that in a couple of days.
Also, we've got E3 coming up on June 10th.
Yes,
I'm excited.
So
lots
excited.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You guys probably don't follow Nintendo a lot, but there's rumor about the Zelda U game being announced, which I think would be awesome. There's
you don't
no
have a U,
U for like Wii U.
I'll have one eventually. Okay. Yeah, for Wii U. There's
so you would buy a console just for one game.
Well, I'll probably get more games for it, but you know, it's
I heard Mario's really good.
Yeah,
it's similar for what I did to the 3DS. I mean, I bought it for the Ocarina of Time remake, and I've gotten a couple other games for it since then. It's a good system. So. Yeah.
I'm gonna buy one for Super Smash Bros. When that comes out. That's gonna be exciting.
But yeah, that's me. I don't know what
you
guys
got the GameCube
for?
Controller thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that
too. Yeah.
So the GameCube controller was announced for like a Super Smash Bros. Tournament, but not necessarily for the public. But hopefully, because I think that'd be really cool.
No, it's gonna be a something you can buy, but it's only for that game. Like,
they haven't
confirmed that it works for other games.
Gotcha.
Oh, weird.
See, the one thing that the advantage you'd have with the GameCube controller is, for some reason, with the Wii U Pro controller, they didn't make the RL stick or buttons analog. They're just like push and click.
Oh.
Whereas the GameCube is, you know, it has you know what I'm saying. It's analog. Anything else? E3.
Well, there's all going to be more Destiny stuff.
That'd be nice.
I'm so tired of being teased by them.
I want more details with it. Like, I want to do more about the storyline of it.
I'm excited to hear Battlefront.
Yeah.
Is it
Battlefront 3?
That's Battlefront Hard. Yeah. Hardline? Not that.
No. Battlefront.
Oh,
so Battlefront is
Star Wars.
Battlefield.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So the Battlefield Hardline is got leaked, and they confirmed it. That it's the next Battlefield game, and it's focused on
Battlefield or Battlefront.
Cops. Battlefield.
Okay.
This is
so
confusing.
This
me.
Is. Is this the same company?
EA and Dice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dice is always in Battlefield, and we'll continue to do Battlefield.
Yeah, but the Battlefront is, or is that BioWare?
No, Battlefront's not BioWare.
I'm so confused. It's Dice.
Battlefront.
I don't
the Star
remember.
Wars.
I think it's Pandemic.
Okay. I can't get
where. Did it?
Wait, hold on. So
I thought they opened a studio in California. Dice.
Battlefield 4 came out last year, and now the next one's gonna come out.
Well, it leaked what they were working on.
Gotcha.
which is a completely different, you know, take, because it's focused on cops rather than military.
Mm-hmm.
And they might have like yeah. some type of heist mechanic.
Well,
stuff.
I mean, I've always been really impressed by, I don't know if it's their engine or what, but like the way the animation is, the motion blur, like the yeah. motion capture of the people, it just always looks really real to me. Mm-hmm. So Battlefield's one of my first yeah, favorite first person shooters.
They definitely lost a lot of traction though with Battlefield 4 and all its problems.
Which is too bad.
I just really enjoy their audio, the gun sounds and everything.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see at the C3, like, if there's not going to be any, like, the, you know, what was it, 2 years ago now was when Watch Dogs was announced? Was it 2 years? It's been a while.
Probably not 2 years.
I think it's a year.
Last year?
Not okay. as long as yeah. we've been waiting for Destiny.
Yeah. But, mm-hmm. you know, that was the big surprise. Nobody knew about that. No one saw that coming. Yeah. So I'm curious.
And then
it
got delayed, and everybody's like, man.
Yeah.
But they still pre-ordered the hell out of it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm curious, you know, if there's going to be, you know, there's going to be one company that's going to be, you know, have a big surprise, one. Pieces of all the press it got, or if there's going to be
a ton
of people.
I don't think there can be any like secrets too much anymore.
Well, I mean, were there rumors about Watch Dogs before it came out? Was there any
probably
any
like if you
looked at Ubisoft and if you like followed their feed or stuff like that, if you were contingent on finding out what
it
was
just
going
depends
on,
if leaks or rumors get to the main channels of like IGN. And
then let me put it that way. Were there any mainstream leaks to Watch Dogs? I don't think there were.
No.
Yeah.
I think they kept it on. They're in Canada, so no one's up there.
I like how they're still kind of following the Assassin's Creed formula, but more modern day tech style.
No, me and Ben have it, and I enjoy it. I'm not even through Act 1.
Well, one thing, though, is I haven't played it. I've watched Ben play it a little bit. There was definitely a big bug during one mission. I can't say what the mission was, but basically went into a room and there were a bunch of people he needed to kill. And the person he needed to go and save, the two guards that were with him kept beating up the character, this NPC, and Ben couldn't kill them.
The mission
like the ghost
completely
bugged
out.
Yeah.
So I had to restart the mission.
I even had a bug in... I was playing Tomb Raider, the HD for Xbox One, and I got to an area where the people weren't there, and I couldn't kill anybody, so I had to restart the checkpoint.
I have a problem with how many bugs enter mainstream games, because like they're supposed to be final products, and really what it just ends up feeling like is the marketing team or the publisher is like, hey, we need to get this game out there, starting to make money for the next one or for
whatever. It's kind of related to the time frame thing that I was talking about before of like... You have so much film, you gotta. Otherwise, it's gonna be like 10 years, and you get Duke Nukem.
Right.
Yeah.
Duke Nukem.
Or
I don't know.
Or Half-Life 3.
Yeah. I don't. You guys, I don't know much about the debugging process, but isn't it the job of debugging to get all that out? Mm-hmm. You know.
It's so complicated. Games. They're so massive now. It's like 3 years, hundreds of people.
And with it all sort of going towards open world, like so many games nowadays are open world, rather than
there's so
know,
many
Halo
possibilities.
When it's just sort of like a straight line, like there's only so much you can do when you have one direction to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
It's a priority development. Yeah. Like that's my job. My day-to-day job is testing, and it's depending on your developing methods, it can be either easier in shorter amount of time or longer and harder. And
so it just depends, yeah.
It really depends on who is managing the project.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
But going back to the Halo thing, though, as the two things that have been announced for the Halo universe is one, it's going to be Halo 5 Guardians, seems to be the name, so take that as you will.
More E3. I think that's the most, especially after the CEO or whatever was like in bold, like, we have big plans.
Yeah.
And E3.
Yep, and then there's the other thing, because they have said that, one, there will be a Halo release this year. But Halo 5 will be released next year.
I think that's
and
all
so,
pointed towards either Halo 2 anniversary or...
this rumored Master Chief Collection.
Yes.
Yeah, which in theory would be an HD... Would be an HD remake of...
Why wouldn't it be an HD?
But yeah. Well, I say HD in the looser terms of like HD remake. Like the Tomb Raider, it was the HD... it was HD edition,
Definitive edition.
Oh, okay. Well, like, so there have been other ones called HD, one they've just upgraded, even though they were both in HD.
So what games would be included in that?
It would be all the Master Chief games, 1, 2, and 3, and 4.
Re-releasing Halo 4.
Yeah, 4.
But for
the
Xbox
One. Which I would, I would really appreciate that.
That'd be nice.
Well, granted, I'll still have my 360 up because I play Assassin's Creed, and I love those games.
No, and I think that would be really cool, even if they... remade Halo 4 for the Xbox One, I would be really curious to see what it looks like, because obviously, you know, they made it for the 360, which is an old system when it came out, like 7 years old or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were really pushing for what they could do with, like, character face animation and motion capture and getting real cinematic characters, but, you know, they sacrificed the awesome, realistic-looking ships in the sky that you got in Halo 3. So, you know, it's
I thought they did an awesome job with that, especially the Spartan Ops. The cutscenes for those were amazing.
They looked movie quality. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what I
even like
I would
the Watch Dogs, like, doesn't even come close.
What I would be most interested in that Halo 2 remake, because, interesting enough, that's for me, that's the Halo campaign I've played the most. Is Halo 2.
Oh, yeah.
Because I had bought Ben's old Xbox, and that was the one Halo game he had with it at the time. So I've played through the campaign of Halo 2, you know, 30 or 40 times because, you know, I would just play it by myself. Yeah.
Get that sweet electric guitar. You know, Halo 2 this weekend.
So yeah, and, you know, bring back the dual wield. Oh, yeah. All about the dual wield.
I was playing Halo 3 the other day, and I'm like, oh, dual wielding. Oh, yeah.
I had a problem with the dual, like, doing both triggers at the same time and, like, forgetting, like, you run out of one and, like,
well, you just got to do the noob combos. So you got to do,
you know what, Lee?
The plasma pistol
and the SMG.
That's just too much for me.
Master Chief could handle it. Are you Master Chief?
I am.
Yeah, so basically, well, you said it was announced, but it was just like a
poster. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. It was a rumor.
No, Halo 5 Guardians.
Oh, yes.
So that was announced. But it was essentially just like concept art. Not concept art, but like the box art.
It was releasing the title. It was called Guardians.
And so it was Master Chief, and then in a mirror image, a mysterious
new
other
character.
New character. New Spartan, I think.
It didn't look like a Spartan.
Maybe.
It didn't look like Spartan 5. Are we on Spartan 5? What program are we on in Halo 4? Is it? It's 4. 4?
4.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They still can't
be not be human, though.
No. Yeah, even though even still with Spartan 3s and the Spartan 4s, they're still not as good as the Spartan 2s.
Well, no, but the Spartan 3s are still good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, they're good, but I mean, like, the process for getting the Spartan 2s, you know, reading the backstory and everything was much more stringent. Like, they are just, they're better soldiers.
Well, they killed half of them doing the surgery.
Exactly. Like, you know, that's the reason, like, the people who survived were amazing. So, and, you know, when they got to the Spartan 3s, they needed to widen it because it sort of became, like,
focused on the armor.
The armor wasn't even as good. It was the semi-powered.
They were more replaceable.
Yes,
so
exactly.
Like,
it was a suicide mission.
Mass produced.
They were the high priority, low high mortality missions.
Yeah.
We're getting deep into.
Anyway, I'm really curious to see what they do with the character's story. They've started up with the Chief post Halo 3, and we'll be talking about that more next episode, I'm sure.
Some announcements.
We saw a couple movies this month, but we'll start off with a first look at allegedly this new Batman and Batmobile. I didn't see this.
You didn't see that?
Mm-hmm. No.
It was on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Zack Snyder tweeted
this is with,
him in his suit next to the Batmobile.
Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Affleck.
It looks pretty cool.
Ben Affleck. that's what I just want to call him.
Now I need to expect him to say that sometime in the movie.
My name is Ben Affleck.
All right, who insures your Batmobile? Affleck.
Do they do auto
like sidekick?
I would be. Well, he's rich enough not to need. Wait, Affleck.
Robin.
I thought that aren't they auto insurance?
What?
I thought it was no. It's like health insurance, isn't it?
Or.
Anyway, so. Not important.
Whatever.
Okay, so did it look cool, at least? I didn't see it.
It looked more like the original comic book.
It looks kind of, it's a mix between the more realistic raw tumbler of the Nolan trilogy with the more sleek, stylized sports car that was.
It seemed related to another game, related to a game that I'm excited about is Arkham Knight.
Yeah.
The next Batman.
Yeah, it looked like that one. That's true.
Who's the company?
Oh, I don't know.
Anyways,
it's WB Games. I don't know.
But they showed a clip of their Batmobile, and it was actually pretty similar. So I don't know if they like work together or not.
Does it look more like Joel Schumacher's masterpiece, Batman and Robin?
And the nips going on?
And Mr. Freeze! What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age! There was at least 2 dozen ice
terrible puns
in that one.
Well, it's cool to see like the pictures of this Batman's suit in comparison to the Dark Knight, whereas the Dark Knight's was like looked much more like a technical suit thing, and this one looks much more flesh.
It,
yeah,
It looks more comic booky.
Yeah, this is like the original way someone colorized it. It was actually cool. He took the picture with the monochromatic lumen. That one where you can adjust the focus. I think, right? Is that camera? That little square thing.
You took it with a Leica? Not a Leica. I'm sorry. I don't remember what it's called.
The bat symbol on his chest. What's that about?
Yeah, that looks weird.
It's a fat bat symbol. He's old, remember? He's an old Batman in this one. He's put on some weight.
Is he?
Cut him some something.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll see how that goes. We'll see when the trailer drops for that one. And also, there's a Stargate reboot. Is that going to be on TV?
That's a trilogy movie with the original director from the original movie with Kurt Russell.
I really enjoyed the movie.
The movie's fun, and I'm curious to see what they'll do because I love the TV series too. Like I've seen everything from all of SG-1, which is 10 seasons, which is long for any sci-fi film. So 10 seasons of that, and there's Stargate Atlantis and Stargate Universe.
Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed Universe.
I think
canceled though.
Yeah, I liked SG-1 because it was, you know, it was a very standard sci-fi of the time. You know, it's a very nerdy show, but I enjoyed, and that's my favorite because I also love the cast. But I really like Universe because it got into the more character drama, which I really, really enjoy.
The only one I saw was Stargate Atlantis.
Lytro. that's the camera you focus.
Oh wait, I'm thinking of a different movie.
Wait. I'm talking about TV shows, I think. Yeah,
we're doing that. No, but anyway, so it's going to be interesting to see, you know, if they're... I'm curious to see if they're going to gear it in a way where they're going to make these three movies with the intention of trying to get a TV series at the end of it.
Mm. It's a trilogy.
It's a trilogy. They want it to be a trilogy. You know, seeing how the box office does, will...
Oh, gotta love trilogies.
And they have to film it all at once, too.
Yep. unfortunately. So yeah, I'll be curious to see where they go and if they're going to like do a complete reimagining of it or if they're going to take from both the original and this TV show.
But well, we'll see.
Speaking of which, of sci-fi reboots, Battlestar Galactica is supposed to be rebooted too.
Yeah, they don't need to do that.
No, they don't.
Moving on.
Leave it alone. All right, we saw Godzilla this month in theaters. I did IMAX 3D. What did you guys see?
I did that too.
I did just the regular 3D.
Yeah.
We'll see. I was Sean had recommended
really bad seats, though.
The IMAX. Yeah. Really?
It was packed.
Nah.
But you know, I gotta say, I think the IMAX was definitely worth it, and it's because the moment the hero shot of Godzilla when he finally like stands up, and he's like about to like he's flexing his muscles, he's like about to like stare at the camera, and everything the sound just drops, and it's like just silence in the theater, and all of a sudden, and he just lets out his scream. Oh, it was so intense.
See.
Okay, well, hey, are we talking about if we like the movie now? Are we going
to
start?
We can't.
Okay.
Do you want to start that?
Okay, well, as we all know, David didn't like the movie. I did.
He won't like the next one either.
The next Godzilla?
Probably won't.
Okay,
I'll get it.
Here's the joke. Go ahead.
Here's the thing. The previous Godzilla that we've all seen was the one from 1998.
Oh, you have all seen. I've seen more of them than that.
I'm saying like the last one that came out.
Well, there's one after that.
Oh, fine, whatever.
It was a Japanese one that nobody here in the States saw.
It's really funny because if you watch the old like 1998 one, it's clear they wanted to like make it like Jurassic Park. The Godzilla was like a T-Rex shape.
Like a velociraptor, more like.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, really fast.
And there's a really stupid shot where it shows like a museum and like a skeleton of a T-Rex. And then Godzilla's foot comes through the ceiling and crashes down and smothers the thing. It's like, yeah, fuck you,
I'm
T-Rex.
Bigger.
Yeah.
Leave that.
We're explicit.
No, I know.
So anyway, no, I thought the movie was really good. I wish Bryan Cranston was in it more. That's my one gripe.
So who wants to go? Lee, Ben? I'll go last. So I can tear it apart.
No, you can go.
Okay, I thought the movie was mediocre at the very best.
Wow.
I thought it was pretty bad. One, I thought Bryan Cranston was great. I felt like he was carrying the film.
Until he left the film.
Well, I didn't want to say that.
Spoiler. Is it?
I didn't say under what condition he left the film.
Why would he leave the film?
Maybe he got assigned to go somewhere else. I don't know. Shut up.
Anyway, so I felt that was good. I thought the music was bad. I didn't think it. I thought the music was too loud when it shouldn't have been, and not loud enough when it should have been loud. And I didn't care for the score also. I thought the sound design for the movie was also bad.
Really?
Yeah, I did not like the sound. Because, like, the whole the effect, like when you're talking about when, you know, he gets up and the sound drops and then it's just the roar. I think that effect properly placed is really cool. And in that moment, it worked. But it happened too often. There were these giant, you know, fight scenes, you know, with the monsters and stuff when, you know, stuff which should have been, this isn't a spoiler. You've seen the trailer. Buildings crash. It's a monster film. And there's no, I don't get the big sound impact of that happening.
Okay.
And there's the other thing as well.
Well, they weren't focusing on the monsters in those scenes, though. They were focusing on the people.
I'm talking about the scenes when you're seeing the monsters, when it's looking at the monsters, those fights. Like, you don't get the mass that should have been there. For example, here's another thing that people know it's happening. There's, you know, Godzilla's breath, his fire atomic breath, whatever you'd like to call it.
Yeah.
That sound for that, I thought was terrible.
Okay, so aside from the sound and music, what else?
I thought that, you know, it was...
How about the story?
I thought the story was also mediocre. I think the U.S. government is filled with morons in this film. So that these atomic... I don't know if I can say that.
Go ahead. Whatever. The radioactive things?
The radioactive stuff that they're using for a certain element of the plot, they're moving both of them together on a train, a vehicle that can only go on one path, not on a plane that's higher than the monsters can reach, probably.
Mm-hmm. It can fly.
We don't know how high, though. Because thinking of the mass of that thing, how high it can get, is questionable. But anyway.
a little too tense.
Anyway, movies. And also, so, you know, moving them together on that thing is stupid. And also,
I agree.
Why was there no evacuation order? There was never until the end, they're like, okay, get to the safety bunkers. Why didn't you, like, they knew where the monsters were going to be converging in their plan. Why did they not issue an evacuation order for the city?
I thought they did.
They didn't. There was no mention of an evacuation. They said, near the end,
they were doing the hospital and stuff. And
yeah,
all that.
Like, they were pulling it out, but there was never anything explicitly saying to leave the city. There's like, okay, we're putting safety shelters in subways.
Well, because then we can't have the shots
of people to get out.
Then we can't have the shots of everyone on the Golden Gate Bridge trying to escape, and you know, then it's all dramatic.
Yeah,
we can't have a movie.
It's at the end. The one thing
I wanted to ask Sean, unfortunately he's not here. He was in the military. I wanted to ask if, because in the movie, like. who's the main character? What's his name?
Oh, geez, I don't know.
Ford,
yeah. So he just, like, randomly, like, links up with this other, like, platoon, and he's like, hey, I'm going to join with you guys now. All right, here, fall in. And it's like, can that happen? Can you just, like, randomly, like, assign yourself?
If you're not under...
That happened in World War II a lot.
This is also in... unordinary circumstances.
Yeah, circumstances.
It was just really funny because he was just like, hey, and he's like in civilian clothes. He's not in his BDUs or anything, and he's just like, hey, I'm a lieutenant. All right, let's go.
Yeah, I trust you.
And also, there's a scene when he's looking down, like when Godzilla is swimming and he's going towards the U.S. coastline. Those boats are super, super close to him.
They were
like if he had. Like jumped up his arms and smashed a couple of boats.
He does at the Golden Gate, right?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, seeing like when they're following him, like those boats are way too close. Like, we have a pretty sophisticated military. They don't need to be that close to track where he is.
But the shot looked cool.
Oh yeah.
That's going to be my response to everything you say. But the shot looked cool.
Yeah. Well, exactly. No, it didn't. I wasn't that taken with the shot.
Suspend your disbelief.
Ben,
no,
what'd you
I
think?
Refuse. The movie should make me suspend my disbelief, and it didn't. That movie wrote a check that I couldn't cash.
Wow.
I thought, though, they did. It was a lot of people talked about, I think even the director, how he wanted to emulate some of the older Steven Spielberg movies and how they go for like an hour and don't even show Godzilla or like monsters or anything. It like slowly like reveals and build up. I thought they did a really good job with that.
I agree. The build up was good. Like there were some interesting choices where how they showed the two early monster battles or the lack of showing. Initially that bothered me, but then I figured, you know, they're building. So then it was okay. And then the big one totally was disappointed in that fight.
Come on.
I did not enjoy it.
I can tell you
fight.
Going opening night and being with the audience, like they definitely enjoyed it.
I did too.
Well, I'm a cynic.
During one of the fight scenes, everybody like one guy started clapping and like once he did that, it gave the rest of the people the opportunity to be like, okay, I can clap.
Oh, and also another science thing with it. So there's an incident where Godzilla uses his tail. And actually, I think scientifically speaking, whenever he swings his tail, it is like a bullwhip, and it should be breaking the sound barrier and creating a sonic boom every time he moves his tail.
You can't bring in science to this, because one thing, Godzilla can't physically exist, animal that size.
Yes.
Gravity will tear it apart.
Of course, based on our traditional understanding of how life can exist.
No, like a bone structure, his bones have to be much bigger than can exist, like for gravity to not just bring him to the ground.
Oh my God.
So if you want to bring in science, then there's a lot. That's a can of worms.
Everything that he likes works. Yeah. Everything he doesn't. Yeah. Doesn't.
Okay. Fair enough. Ben, sorry, you were going to say.
Yeah. I'm kind of in the same boat as David. I didn't think it was that great of a movie. I enjoyed like specific parts of it, but I had a lot of problems. Like the one when they go find the second monster, or like to look like in the bunker with all the other like nuclear warheads.
Oh yeah, that moment was a total load of bull. That was terrible.
How did this huge ass monster leave, blow a hole half the size of the mountain, and then start walking to Las Vegas? And nobody, there was no rumble. No one knew about it
until the team went inside the building and they didn't see.
They were in a helicopter.
Side.
How did they not see this massive hole?
Yeah.
But did the shot look cool?
As I said, yeah, no, the shot looked really cool. Actually, I was thinking that when that scene happened, I'm like, man, there is no way that would happen like that. Like, first of all, they would like approach it. Oh, there's a big ass hole. Well, we know what happened. No, but they go in looking for it and then they find the hole.
And like they're going to do anything about it.
Yeah.
That squadron.
I think the biggest thing that bothered me about the movie is that I had conflicting feelings about it as far as what its intention was. So like with the trailers and like the first 30 minutes of it, I feel like it's you're focusing on the conflict between the son and Bryan Cranston.
Yep.
And you're exploring that relationship and you're expanding on it, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden it just kind of cuts off, and then you don't mention it at all. It's just then it becomes a monster movie. So it's a drama movie and then it's a monster movie.
That disconnects.
Bryan Cranston definitely should have been the main character. I think so too.
Yeah. My point about Godzilla and why it's an okay movie is just a story about that. With a creature like that doesn't interact with the humans, like he doesn't even give a shit.
Yeah.
They made it seem like he did, but really he doesn't. He's just on his own mission. Like, mm-hmm. how can you really have a good story with that? Like,
yes,
how good can it be? Really,
it can be very good.
Really?
Yeah. Watch the original.
By having like two different stories happening that aren't really related, they're just being slightly impacted by some of the circumstances.
At the end of the day, guys, it's a monster movie. And
exactly. When
Godzilla's kicking ass, I was like, ah.
Yeah.
No. I mean, no, it's like watching Power Rangers.
No, I didn't care for any of those.
Which? Coming out too.
Yeah.
Power Rangers. That's true.
You know, my last thing on it is also, I agree with the scale of with Godzilla. Like, you're right. Like, they attempt to have him have like that moment of connection, like looking at the character.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it's true. It's like, that would be like you tripping over something and having a heartfelt moment with an ant. You don't care about
that's
the
what,
end.
That's
you,
what I'm saying.
You're,
about
you're huge, so it's like you know, like he didn't like again, like why he chose to not hit that aircraft carrier when he dives under it, and you see that in the trailer. He was going on the surface, and he goes under the aircraft carrier and then back over.
But
he wouldn't care. He would just hit it.
Yeah, but that was
he
just
knows
that
how
was
big
just
he is.
That was just like you thought it was going to happen. Then
yeah, it looked cool. No. Shot looked cool. but to me, that movie was completely overshadowed by the other movie we saw.
I agree completely. This movie was
you
much
just
better.
You just cut me off.
I didn't see this movie at all.
Whoa,
I haven't
whoa.
Seen this movie yet.
And the movie we're talking about is X-Men.
Yes, Days of Future Past, which apparently was an X-Men comic. Episode or whatever.
It was a comic series.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which is cool.
Of the same name.
Anyway, is the latest installment in the famous X-Men saga on film.
How many has there been? Like 10?
This is number 6.
So wait,
X-Men,
X-Men, X-Men
1, 2, 3,
Origins, The Wolverine, Days of Future Past. So this is the 6th.
Oh wait, no, 7th, because you forgot about First Class.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes.
So this is the 7th X-Men film.
I stand corrected.
I thought it was a great movie. And I'm not an X-Men fan necessarily, but
I really liked it too. And I am not a comic book person. I've never read any of the comics, mm-hmm. but for the X-Men, like especially X-Men 1 and X-Men 2, I liked them both a lot. And it's probably one of my favorite mm-hmm. comic book franchises other than Batman. I do enjoy Batman.
It had a great Terminator kind of vibe to it because it starts off in the dystopian future that like everything's gone to hell and everyone's died, and so they have to go back in.
Yeah.
Fix it before it began. Very like Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
So
Yeah, and one thing you had talked about is the sort of the character moments.
Yes. In it. Well, I'll get there. We gotta warm the movie up a little. Ben, you didn't see it?
We don't want to see it yet.
No, I'm not going to anything. I'm not going to spoil it.
Just human moments.
No. Well, to me, everything is spoilers that we talk about because it's giving information about the film that I don't necessarily want to know before I see it, but whatever. No.
I'll try to zone you out.
It. Yeah, okay, fine. So the thing is, this movie, filled with special effects because it's all about mutants with superpowers. And I thought, by the way, the special effects were amazing.
Yeah, I thought they were really good.
And they give they show a lot of different special effect shots in the trailers. And if it's in the trailer, I'm not going to count it as...
No, trailers.
So like when Magneto is floating the
stadium,
and then it comes crashing down, there's that shot in the trailer. You can definitely tell it's a cool mix between practical effects and CG. So I love that they did stuff like that. And I don't know. There was other... mutant superpower stuff, flames and all that crazy stuff. Yeah. But
I don't think this is a spoiler, but I love that they brought all the original casts from all the all the movies. Yeah.
Halle Berry's in it with Storm, which I heard is like only for like a little bit.
And,
she's in the trailer.
There's some other people that we shouldn't mention who they are because of the circumstances of them.
I can't even think of what you're talking about. To me, everything is just...
You're not a fan, Wade.
Don't worry. And the other one, and this was announced, but I think one of for me, one of my favorite characters from this movie specifically has got to be Quicksilver. Yeah. He was a fun character.
One of the funnest scenes is when he, like, everyone's about to get shot, and he just, like, he just starts running, and so time just slows down to, like basically standing still, and he, you know, calmly puts in his earbuds and he puts on his goggles and he just starts running and he's just like having a ball and everyone's just like frozen.
And I enjoyed the effect on that of how they deal with the momentum, and like when he's moving at that speed, it doesn't take much for him to have a huge effect. Like he just does like poke someone on the cheek, just poke someone, but because of the speed and when, you know, time catches up to itself, sort of, you know.
Yeah,
we go back to real time. It's
really cool.
It's a, you know, huge reaction.
A huge like shockwave. Yeah, and the music too was. Very
appropriate.
Yeah,
I think he's going to be in Avengers 2.
Yes,
really?
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Because he's the son of Magneto.
Why? No, that is a spoiler.
That's not a spoiler.
Yes, it is.
Well, no,
it is
you know
me.
That in the lore. If you read the lore, it's
well,
not
I don't
like,
know the lore.
Well, too bad.
Well, now I know. I can't unknow it. Anyway,
they said in the movie.
Well, they alluded to it.
They
didn't
did not say it.
Say it.
They said my mom knew someone who could move metal.
And
who else do you know who
moves metal?
Sure, but
in the X-Men universe.
But he said my mom knew. Like that doesn't mean anything.
That's
it's new in the biblical sense. Okay. Anyway, so let's move on. Anyway, what I meant to say was there's a lot of awesome, well done visual effects in this film. But to me, that is a backdrop. It is the icing on the cake to the underlying draw to this drama. And there's a scene. Where it's in the trailers, not spoilers, where young Charles Xavier talks to the older version of himself. And this is a moment in Xavier's story when he's young, when he's broken as a character, and he's like at his lowest of low. And he sits and he talks with his older self, and that conversation they have, the juxtaposition between the calm, collected, unshakable, you know, older Patrick Stewart Xavier talking to like the trembling, shaken, like yearning for hope Charles, just that, and they're staring in each other's eyes, and you guys know the scene I'm talking about. And I was sitting there watching the scene and I'm thinking, moments like these, that is what good cinema is all about. And everything else is just
superfluous.
Well, it adds to it, but this is the core. This is why movies, like, this is why I go to see movies, is to see moments like this.
Well, and also that's the sci-fi genre, like, it enables a very complex scene like that happening, like the same character talking to itself.
Right. Yeah. When you have
realistic,
when you have elements like time travel and stuff. So, yeah, exactly right. Sci-fi and the rules of sci-fi allow for these complicated interactions to take place, and because of that, it's that much more cool. Yeah. So again, like, I thought this movie was great, and my favorite X-Men movie, I think. But I've only seen X-Men 3, and First Class, and this one. I don't know. Those are my thoughts. Ben, did you like it, or you didn't see it?
I really want to see it. I'll probably go see it today.
I'd recommend it.
Yeah. No. And as I've been saying, like, for many of the same reasons you've just said, like, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was much, much better than Godzilla. Knowing then what I know now, I would have said, "That's not Sea Godzilla."
When Godzilla came into the X-Men movie, he just ruined the whole thing.
And they're already working on the next one.
Yeah, the next one will be X-Men Apocalypse. Mm-hmm. So it's the next one.
I think every series,
because it's also, I'm interested to see where that one goes, because the rumor is with that one is for the sequel for X-Men Apocalypse, it's actually going to be a prequel to First Class. It's going to be yet another origin story.
Wow.
Which I'm sick of. I'm done. Because it's also interesting because from what I understand, there's I don't know anything about the plot, but like
this was an origin story.
Well, so was like X-Men 1.
And you did? And you liked it?
Yeah, but no, but yeah, because we're having because we already had through the original X-Men 1 and X-Men 2, we had the origin story for Wolverine. Then we had a standalone origin story for Wolverine. I'd call it an origin story. Then we have X-Men First Class being an origin story. Yeah. And then we're doing yet another origin story before the origin story of the origin story. I mean, I'm done with it.
It just explores the character more.
Well, I would just reserve judgment.
Yeah.
This has been David, the cynic critic.
Yeah, thank you. It's also because, I don't know anything about the story, I only know the title.
But I still pass judgment.
There's a sequel, like in the comic books, there's Days of Future Past, and then the sequel to that storyline, which is Days of Future Present. Which I don't know why they're not doing that.
Are there Days of Future Future? Just so we can keep getting like the ghosts of, you know.
Do you guys think that it's a rule for any film series to have the subtitle Apocalypse in at least one of their movies?
The Born Apocalypse?
There's like blah 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 Apocalypse, blah 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 Revolution, blah blah blah, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. What was it? Resident Evil is bad
Extinction.
For that. Every single subtitle is just like a random word that they're, what is this
the
word sounds
end of the
cool.
World.
Yeah,
the
end of something.
This is a character though, so
okay,
it's a little different.
Then I guess I'll let it slide. So next month I'm sure we'll be talking about E3 announcements and WWDC. Well, no, E3 is at June 10th, right?
Yeah.
So that's we'll probably. Oh wait,
it's
oh no,
July.
I'm thinking of the next.
We'll talk about it.
Yep. All right, guys, this has been episode 18 of the ISCast. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.